Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Father, I love you tonight, and I pray, God, that you'd help us over the next few minutes. God, you know the need of the service. God, you know why I'm here where I'm at. In the text tonight, God, you know the things, Lord, that you've put on my heart to say tonight. And Lord, I'm not going to question why I'm preaching here. You know what's going on. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me with it. God, I pray, God, that you'd give us discernment. God, help me to say nothing out of the way. God, I pray, Lord, that every word that's uttered from my mouth tonight, God, would be ordained by you. I pray, God, that you'd put a bridle about my mouth, God, and help me to say nothing that you wouldn't want me to. God, I pray, Lord, that we would take the text literal tonight. And God, may each and every one of us sitting here tonight inventory our life. God, we'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Look in verse 17 of 2 Samuel chapter number 6, or chapter number 2, I'm sorry, verse 17 of chapter 2 of 2 Samuel. The Bible said, and there was a very sore battle that day, and Abner was beaten and the men of Israel before the servants of David. It's very important that you understand the middle part of verse 17. Abner was beaten. In other words, Abner is a defeated foe. In verse number 17, Abner is beaten. Verse number 18, there were three sons of Zeruiah there, Joab and Abishai and Azahel. And Azahel was as light of a foot as a wild roe. And Azahel pursued after Abner. What's he doing? Why's he going after Abner? The Bible just told us two verses before that Abner was beat. Abner's a defeated foe. What's Azahel doing? Well, let's read on. And Azahel pursued after Abner, and in going, he turned not to his right hand nor to his left from following Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, "Art thou Azahel?" And he answered, "I am." And Abner said to him, "Turn thee aside to thy right hand or to thy left, and lay thee hold on one of the young men, and take thee his armor." But Azahel would not turn aside from following of him. And Abner said again to Azahel, "Turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab thy brother?" Azahel is pursuing a defeated enemy, and the enemy stops practically and says, "Man, you better stop what you're doing. You're messing with the wrong person. You better stop." Look in verse 23, "Howbeit he refused to turn aside. Wherefore Abner with the hinder end of his spear smote him under the fifth rib, but that the spear came out behind him. And he fell down there and died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to the place where Azahel fell down and died stood still. Joab also and Abishai pursued after Abner. And the sun went down when they came to the hill of Amar that lieth before Gaiath by the way that the wilderness of Gibeon." I want to talk to you about this thought for just a little while tonight. Not stopping until you're dead. Not stopping until you're dead. I thought about this as I've pondered a lot of things. Really, it was just the last hour or two that I wrote some things down. I hope you understand what I'm fixing to say. I've really just chewed on this scripture all week. I've just meditated on it. I've read it over and over and just meditated on it. And I thought the first thing that we need to understand is, what is sin tonight? What is sin? Well, Romans said this, "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." James said this, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not, to him," the Bible says, "it's sin." So if we know what we're supposed to do but we don't do it, then it's sin. If we know that the Bible says pray without ceasing and we don't pray, then it's sin. If we know we're supposed to read our Bible and we don't read our Bible, then it's sin. We know if we're supposed to be faithful to the house of God and we're not faithful to the house of God, then it's sin. "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not," according to the Bible, it's sin tonight. You know, a lot of times we'll say something like this, well, the individual really didn't know any better. And I understand there is time, especially with someone that has never been raised in church and have been raised around the house of God, that the individual really doesn't know any better on some things. I want to say to you tonight, to whom much is given, much is required. The majority of us sitting here tonight has been around the house of God enough that we do know better. We've been around the house of God. We've been around the people of God. We've been around the preaching of God. We've been around the Word of God. And there's some things that we know better than to do. The first time that we think about, whenever we think about sin, is some quote-unquote big sin. But I want to say something to you tonight. Sin in the eyes of God. There's no big sin and no little sin. Sin. Now, there is some sin that God says is an abomination. He calls that out. Matter of fact, he that soweth discord among the brethren, the Bible says, it's an abomination to God. Matter of fact, sodomy tonight, the Bible says, is an abomination to God. Isn't it interesting that God put sowing discord among the brethren and the sin of sodomy, homosexuality, in the same group tonight and says they're both an abomination before the Lord? You can say amen right there because I'm in the Bible. Amen. That's what matters is the Word of God. And it's sin tonight. So whenever we think about sin tonight, we've got to understand that sin goes far deeper than committing adultery or fornication or this or that or the other. I was talking to a preacher this week, and man, I was sharing some things with him that I'd been dealing with, and then he started sharing some things with me that he had been dealing with, and I come to the conclusion he was dealing with a whole lot more than I was dealing with, and I went to try to get encouraged and come away really encouraged because I realized I wasn't dealing with near as much what he was dealing with. And he said, here's one thing, preacher, that is blowing me away today that I'm having to deal with on a constant basis. And he said, that's the sin of pornography in the adult men of our church. And I thought, God help tonight. Boy, we don't hear preaching on things like that anymore. But I'm telling you, sin in the eyes of God, jealousy, malice, anger, holding a grudge. Are you with me? It's sin tonight. So sin tonight, let's establish what it is. Let's think about this young man by the name of Azahel for just a minute tonight. As I began to study his life out and look at some things about him, here's what I found out, that whenever you study his life out, according to 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse number 16, his mother is Zeruah, and we know that here, but according to 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse number 16, Zeruah was David's sister. So you'll find out that Azahel is the nephew of mighty King David, a man after God's own heart, a man that loves God. That's who his uncle is. We could also say it this way, David the giant killer, David the mighty man of battle, David the man that killed a lion and a bear with his own hands. And we can talk about that, and maybe, just maybe in David's mind, or not in David's mind, but just maybe in Azahel's mind, Azahel maybe might be dealing with a little bit of this, look who I am. Do you not know my genealogy? Do you not know where I came from? Do you not know who my uncle is? My uncle is King David, the mighty warrior. That's who my uncle is. Matter of fact, when you study Azahel out, you'll find that he was famous for being very fast. The Bible said that he was as light as his foot as a wild roe. You'll find out that he was near the top of David's 30 heroes. You'll find out that he was a commander in one of the divisions of David's army. In other words, Azahel was a man that we could say it this way, had a little prestige in his life. And can I just say that? He was a man of prestige. He had some things going for him in his life. But if you're not careful, you'll allow maybe your prestige and who you are to overtake you. And we could say it a little bit like this, his pride overtook him. In other words, look who I am, look where I came from, look at the position that I hold. But can I say something to you tonight? The devil is no respecter of a person. And if anything, I think the devil puts a greater target and a bigger target, and the devil goes after those that has a quote-unquote spiritual prestige even more than he does the drunk in the gutter tonight. Can I say it this way? Azazel in his life, we could look at it and we could talk about it. And Azazel really had a lot of things going good for him. But Azazel ends up pursuing the wrong enemy. So I want you to see not only his prestige, but look at his pursuing with me tonight. His pursuing, know what the Bible said. The Bible said in Azazel, verse number 19, pursued after Abner. He pursued after him. Pursuing the right thing is okay. Can I say that to you tonight? Pursuing a life of godliness is okay. Somebody say amen right there. Pursuing a life of holiness is okay. But let's think about this. Why is Azazel pursuing after Abner? Why is he running after him? Why is he doing this? Note again what your Bible said in verse 17. And there was a very sore battle that day, and Abner was beaten. Why in the world is he running after a defeated enemy? How many times do we get our eyes focused on something and we forget about God? We forget about the things of God. We forget about the people of God. We forget about the house of God. Is everybody hearing the preacher tonight? And we begin pursuing an enemy that's already defeated. You see, if it pulls you away from the Bible, if it pulls you away from prayer, if it pulls you away from the people of God and the house of God, it's of the devil tonight. It's not of God. And what you are doing is you are pursuing the wrong thing. If we're not careful, we'll think, well, I can handle this. It's not going to bother me to miss a few services. It's not going to bother me. Why? Because of a prestige. But what are we doing? We are pursuing a defeated enemy. I thought about this. The pursuit that he is in was of no value to the king. It was doing the king no good. Nothing good is being done for King David as he's pursuing Abner. Nothing good is being done for his own family as he is pursuing Abner. Can I just make a practical application out of it tonight? When you're pursuing the world and the things of the world, there is nothing good being done for the king. It is of no value to our king tonight. I want to ask you something tonight. What are you pursuing? What are you chasing after? What are you going after? I want to say something to you tonight. There's nothing in the world with being successful as long as it don't take you away from God and the things of God. There's nothing in the world wrong with advancements as long as it don't take you away from God and the house of God. There's nothing wrong with playing sports as long as it don't take you away from God and the house of God. But what are you pursuing tonight? Let me tell you what we ought to pursue more than anything in this world. We ought to pursue the King and what brings value to the King and what brings honor to the King and what brings joy to the King and what is in reverence to the King. But so many times, church, we find ourselves pursuing something that has nothing to do with God, and in turn, it's going to pull us away from God and the house of God. His pursuit tonight, there's no value, no self-worth. And I thought about this over and over. Why in the world is he pursuing him? What's he doing? Maybe, just maybe, he's trying to make a name for himself. Maybe he's tired of being called David's nephew. Maybe he thinks, Brother Ramsey, he's got to prove something. He's been underneath the leadership of somebody else. And can I just say something? To the day you die, you're going to be underneath the leadership of somebody. Maybe he thinks, and boy, how many times, and again, I told you I struggled with bringing especially teenagers in here tonight, but God just wouldn't let me. How many times have we saw young people think that mom and daddy didn't know is good, and that all the rules and regulations that mom and daddy had put in the house was wrong, and all the borders. Let me tell you something, we need regulations. You know what the speed limit is? It's a regulation. You say, why is it there? Well, some of y'all don't know why it's there. But usually you end up finding out. Are you with me? When that individual, and by the way, you better be careful up there on 89 because it's 45 on Walt Atkins Road to Pine Ridge now. All right? That you can pay me for that afterwards. And I'm telling you, the highway patrol is burning it up through there right now. Why is that put there? Why is there a limit that the state wants you to go through there? Here's the reason why. There's about 797,000 tractor and trailers a day that pulls out right there. And they put a limit there so if one pulls out, you can stop before harm is done to you. I want you to hear me tonight. There's limits that must be set in our life. No doubt David had set limits for the battle. There's rules for engagement that we can go back and even look at in history. But Abner, man, he takes off, and here's Azahel pursuing after him. What are you doing? I wonder if Abner turned around and looked at him and said, "Man, what are you?" Not the whole conversation's recorded, I don't think. Look what he says. Abner said to him, "Turn thee aside to thy right hand or to thy left." He said, "Turn aside, man. Go another way." You know what he's saying? Here's what he's saying in general. I'm bigger than you, I'm badder than you, and I'm going to kill you if you don't stop. I want you to hear me tonight. The devil's bigger than you, the devil's badder than you, and I promise you he'll kill you if you don't stop. His pursuit. He just kept running. They was warning after warning after warning. His pursuing, his prestige, his pursuing. Watch this. I see his problem. What was his problem? Well, I just showed you there where Abner tells him to stop. You say, "Well, preacher, what was his problem?" Here's his problem. He wouldn't listen. He just wouldn't listen. He just wouldn't listen. We was in South Dakota. Some of you heard me say this before, but we was in South Dakota whenever the church voted us in as pastor. And we were staying in a motel, and it was about 9,000 degrees outside, and the air conditioning wouldn't keep up, and it was about 10,000 degrees in that motel. And the Greyhound bus we was in, the air conditioning went out on it, and it's about 15,000 degrees in it. It was awful. I was ironing my shirt one night to go to church. And as I was ironing it, Madeline come walking over there. started messing around that iron, and I said, you better stop. That'll burn you. Leave it alone. I popped her hand. I said, you better leave that alone. Well, she acts like her mama. She wouldn't listen one lick. I got done ironing my shirt. I set it up, unplugged it. Told her, I said, don't go near that. Don't touch that. I turned around. I no more than turned around, and she started screaming. And you can tell you what she done. She walked over and she laid her hand on it. You know what the problem was? She wouldn't listen. She wouldn't listen. I was trying to get her to understand, and you better listen to this preaching right here because it's good. Daddy knows a little bit more than you do. And Daddy is trying to help you to keep you from getting hurt. But the problem was she knew more than Daddy. Now, I'm preaching years ago. She's not as bad today. How many young people knows more than their parents? They just won't listen. They won't listen. Let me tell you what his problem was. He was warned over. Boy, I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight, but I'm just trying to obey God. He's warned over. And man, I'm telling you, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. You better stop. You're going to get hurt. Preacher stands up and preach. Sin will ruin your life. Sin will destroy your home. Sir, you better be careful what you're looking at. Ma'am, you better be real careful who you're talking to down there at the job. Ma'am, you ain't got... Hey, look up in here. A man and a woman that's not married has no business under any circumstances sitting down and eating a meal together at a restaurant. None. You better watch out. You said, preacher, it's Wednesday night. It might be preaching time for about the next hour. I'm telling you, you better watch out. You better... Oh, preacher, there's nothing to it. You better watch out. The problem was he wouldn't listen. He just wouldn't listen. Abner says, man, you better go another way. You better not mess with me. I'm going to destroy you. He wouldn't listen. You know what the preacher does? He says, you better go another way. You better turn a different way. Just won't listen. Just won't listen. Several months ago, back up several years ago, my wife and I talked to a teenage girl. And we begged and pleaded with her on numerous occasions. And I said, I tell you what's going to happen. I said, you're going to end up in a mess. I said, that's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to end up in a mess. No, I said, I'm telling you, you'll end up in a mess. I hear probably 6-7 months ago, me and Miss Leslie sit down with that same individual. And this was the exact words. You was right. And you said, what was your response? I told you so. I said it with tears running down my face, Brother Ramsey. But I said, I told you. I told you. Hear me tonight. Well, you better be careful. You better be careful. There's greater preachers than I am. Brother Matt, they're out of the ministry today. I talked to one time. He told me some things that was going on, and I looked at him, and I said, man, you're in trouble. I said, you better do something about it right now. And here's what he said. I can handle it. And I said, no, you can't. This was an older preacher, and I was a young preacher. I said, you better get some help. You better turn. You better go a different direction. Let me tell you what happened. His home ended up busting up. He ended up in a mess. Let me tell you the reason why God's word don't return void. And when we're pursuing after a defeating enemy, I promise you the end is trouble. The problem, he just wouldn't listen. The pace, what was the pace? He wouldn't even slow down. Kept going, but here's the pity, and I'm done. What's the pity? Well, the title was the pity. Not stopping until you're dead. The pity is this: Azahel died. Azahel died. a member of the king's army chasing a defeated enemy. And let me tell you, I want to be real careful. But I believe there's a practical application without taking it from the correct contextual view. I believe there's a practical application. It's David being a picture of our king and Azazel being a picture of a Christian. You hear what I'm fixing to say. You'll not continue to pursue the enemy as a Christian and stay alive. God put you in the grave. God will put you in the grave. I'm telling you, the chastisement of God and the correcting hand of God is not something we hear preached about much anymore. But He says in His Word that He'll turn you over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Didn't say nothing about the soul, because once saved, always saved. But you'll not bring reproach upon the name of Christ if you're saved and continue to do that and get by with it. You say, preacher, it's Wednesday night. What in the world are you preaching this for? I don't know, but I'm going to preach it. I'm going to preach it. There might be somebody sitting here. There might be somebody watching. This could be the last warning God's given you. We think we know people. Can I just say that? We think we know people. Miss Lee said, do you care to come play softly? I talked to a preacher this weekend. He called a name, and whenever he called the name, I knew exactly who he was talking about. When you preach in churches and in meetings over and over, you begin to know people that become personal to you. And he told me some things, and I just couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. Just blowed my mind. So, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. Before the sun comes up in the morning, if we're not careful, every one of us sitting in here will be in a mess. And when God puts a warning sign up, you might ought to heed to it. The pity, Azazel's dead. Look at the potential that he's got. Look at the potential he's got. David's his uncle. He's part of David's family. He could have potentially, as history goes on and the course of time goes on, and David becomes king of all of Israel, he could have potentially ended up being one of the top dogs, if you want to say it that way. He already was under David. But look how much more is fixing to happen in the life of David. What happened? He got his eyes on the enemy that was defeated and thought he was better than him, thought he could overtake him, and ended up dying. What a pity. How many times do we say this? Brother Elijah, the other Monday, after we'd been together that Sunday night, I heard this statement, I bet 30 times before I left that house. Gone too soon. How many times, Brother Ramsey, do we hear that statement? We'll be... Back when I was active in the fire department and stuff, we'd be standing beside a car and a young person laying in it and them dead. And you'll hear that statement, gone too soon. Can I ask you a question tonight? Are you going to be gone too soon? Because you're saved and you know you're saved, but you're pursuing a defeated enemy. And the problem is you think that you can outdo the enemy and he's going to destroy you. Ma'am? Down there at the job, what's them thoughts that began to go through your mind? What's him thought? Sir, when that individual, that lady walks by, what's them thoughts in your mind? The Bible said this, if you look upon a woman to lust after, you've already committed fornication with her in your heart. What a pity, man. So much potential to his life. My wife and I has laid awake I don't know how many times in the middle of the night and made this very statement. Boy, if they just give God everything, they've got so much potential. They've got so much potential. I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know the temptation that may be in your life. I don't know the sin that you may already be indulging in. But I do know this, that the God of all glory said, walk in here and preach this tonight on a Wednesday night. The devil done everything in his power to keep me from preaching it. Now, I'm going to say it this way. I've done my part. The rest is on you. The rest is on you.